Blog
Welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
Inside the Gaming.
Welcome to Inside the Game with Marcus Douglas as your host, Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network, and Marcus Douglas, Inside the Game, every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
And I'm your host, Marcus Douglas, and we have a lot to talk about on today. Everything from trades to free agency, who's being signed, who's in town, and who's not in town. As we start off today's news, what an amazing afternoon we've had already. 4 o'clock, the league season open, and already some amazing movement with players being traded, players signing their new deals. We're going to go over all of that with the short time that we have, and so I will be skipping around, but I will give plenty of time for our commercial breaks in between. But let's start right off at it. Let's talk about Jimmy Graham. A couple hours ago, Jimmy Graham was traded from the New Orleans Saints to the Seattle Seahawks. Haloti Ngata is no longer a Baltimore Ravens. Sam Bradford is no longer a St. Louis Ram. Nick Foles is no longer a Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk about all of these stories, but let's start at the top in Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is a massive tight end who played most of the year last season with a bumped shoulder. While being hurt, Jimmy Graham was still somewhat productive in the New Orleans Saints offense. And if I could sum it up with a quote from Drew Brees today, he cannot believe that his number one target on offense is no longer in town. Sean Payton and that staff down there, Mickey Loomis, had to make some important decisions on this afternoon, trying to get under the salary cap, and they did so at the expense of shipping Jimmy Graham to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, a lot of people would say, why get rid of such a talented player? Well, we all know that all NFL teams, if you tune into this show, have to adhere to a strict salary cap of $143 million. And so, obviously, they saw fit to ship Jimmy Graham out of town. And on the flip side of that, in comes Jimmy Graham to the Super Bowl losing team in the Seattle Seahawks. And I tell you what, the Seattle Seahawks, the Arizona Cardinals, both of these teams are getting stronger in that division in the NFC West. And my 49ers, well, you know what, we're going to talk about them a little later. We're going to talk about retirement. We're going to talk about Gore, who's headed to Indianapolis. But let's dive into a little bit more when you talk about these trades. A lot can be said about Jimmy Graham and what he brings to a team. He gives Russell Wilson a solid threat down the middle of the field. Jimmy Graham is a mismatch for any linebacker, any safety, because of his size, because of his speed. Russell Wilson now has a new shiny toy in his garage. And how will he use them? When you look at some of the moves that they made already, getting a Kay Williams to shore up that Legion of Boom, because Byron Maxwell has been paid handsomely by the Philadelphia Eagles and signing a big-time deal. And so when you talk about the rich getting richer, well, the Seattle Seahawks got richer this afternoon by Jimmy Graham, all 6'7" of himself, in town. In return, the New Orleans Saints get center Max Unger, who is a former first-round pick. And, you know, he goes to a Saints team that they know in order for them to win, they have to keep Drew Brees upright. And one way you do that, you have to protect him. And so they get back in exchange for the Jimmy Graham trade. Not only do they get a good center in Max Unger, but they also get an additional draft pick from the Seattle Seahawks, a first-round draft pick, might I add, sent over to the New Orleans Saints. And Seattle Seahawks fans have to be excited on this day of free agency. We're excited, as you can tell in my voice. And so when you come back from us, we're going to talk retirement. We're going to talk about all-time leading rushers, switching teams. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game.
When I was in the NFL, I would use towels similar to dry towel, but they were made out of cotton, so they weren't as effective. So what happens is you have to change the towel probably two or three times a game. The absorption rate is greater than any cotton towel you ever see on the market. What I love about the dry towel is that it absorbs sweat and moisture so well that you don't really have to change it throughout the course of a game, not three or four like I used to use on the course of a game to keep everything dry and intact. Also, for you guys who wear mouthpieces, little pocket for your mouthpiece so you don't have to stick it in your helmet. You don't have to keep track of it. You know, in the course of a game, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. You don't want to put your mouthpiece in your hands a whole lot, so it's a nice little pocket. After the play, you put it there. Right before you walk up to the line of scrimmage, you grab it back. Bam, it's right there. I used to like to wipe my hands off so I wouldn't fumble the football, you know, to make sure my grip was straight. This would have been perfect. Everything is sealed. Everything is right here on my right-hand side. Easily accessible. I can grab it, pop it in. I'm done.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. I forgot to do something in the first segment, which is give our new call-in number, and that number here in the studio is 713-955-0710. Once again, that's 713-955-0710. Let's get into the San Francisco 49ers. We're going to talk about retirement. We're going to talk about Frank Gore no longer being a 49ers player. And this is something that's very shocking to me to hear, because I know what these two young men mean to the San Francisco 49ers locker room. I myself was a member of the San Francisco 49ers when these players came into the locker room, and they garnered a lot of respect during their rookie seasons, playing hard. Frank Gore did not start coming in, but he leaves the San Francisco 49ers as their all-time rusher and heads to the Midwest to play with Andrew Luck in that offense in his quest to get his final push towards that elusive Super Bowl ring. I'm going to read a quote to you guys, quote given by Patrick Willis today, and you guys can comment on it or call in, and we can talk about it. Patrick Willis says in a statement on today through his press conference, he says that you see me break my hand on Sunday, have surgery on Monday, and play on Thursday with a cast on, Willis said. But there's something about these feet, and those are what made me who I am. They've had y'all all saying, wow, where did he come from? And so I no longer have it in these feet to go out there and give you guys that kind of wow. Those are words from a future potential Hall of Famer, Patrick Willis, who hung up his cleats on today in Santa Clara, California, at a young age of 30 years old. But I know one thing, this young man has his priorities in order. Only being 30 years old, he has already has his sights set on some aspirations and some dreams off the field. And it's one thing I know, it is hard your first year leaving football. It's not necessarily the games you miss, but you miss being around those dedicated 53 guys in that locker room who give their all during the offseason and in season in order to chase that Lombardi prize. And so I know Patrick Willis is going to do awesome things off the field, but at the same time, the 49ers do have a big hole to fill in the middle of that defense. Navarro Bowman went out last year, and so these guys already have given Coach Tom Sula, the 49ers' new head coach, something to think about and perhaps keep him up at night thinking about how can he shore up that defense. There have been talks about Justin Smith also retiring. And so right now you're going to lose a lot of talent off of that 49ers defensive side of the ball. But more importantly, you're also going to lose a lot of leadership in that locker room. When times get tight, when you're in those tough games, when you're playing Seattle late in the year, you need those veteran kind of players that understand what it takes to go into CenturyLink Field and beat the Seattle Seahawks. And so that's something that the 49ers have not done in a while, but at the same time, Jim Tom Sula and that coaching staff and that front office staff are going to have a hard time replacing Patrick Willis and also replacing Frank Gore's output on offense. They made some strong moves today by acquiring Torrey Smith away from the Baltimore Ravens and getting him to kind of bolster that offense. When you talk about Michael Crabtree no longer being with the 49ers, they need to surround Colin Kaepernick with talent. And what better way to do that than have a receiver who can tear the top off of the offensive unit? And so that's what they have now. That's what they're dealing with right now with the 49ers. And so when you talk about what is going on in Santa Clara, things are going on in Santa Clara. Players are leaving the team and heading for greener pastures and Frank Gore. But there's also some change on both sides of the ball, on the offense and defensive side of the ball that we've just gone over. And so as we take another quick break, we're also going to get into our mock draft. So not only are we talking free agency, we're also updating our boards on the mock draft and also getting back to our top 100 free agents. And, yes, Darrelle Revis is a free agent. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
This show is brought to you by Michael Snell and GBSClothiers.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. Before we go over our mock draft on this week, let's get into some NFL news. The Packers have been in discussion with nose tackle Terrence Knighton. Terrence Knighton, pot roast, is a defensive tackle, free agent who spent the last several years with the Denver Broncos. And so that GM up there in Green Bay is famous for bringing in guys to shore up that defensive side of the ball. They've already gotten rid of A.J. Hawk in an effort to bolster that defense. And so it looks like the Green Bay Packers are doing their due diligence and trying to shore up the middle of that defense. In other news, DeMarco Murray is being wooed right now by the Jacksonville Jaguars. These coaches down there know in Jacksonville that they have to surround Blake Bortles with talent, and what better way to do so than with a running game. Ever since the departure of Maurice Jones-Drew, there's been a big hole to fill in Jacksonville, and so it looks like DeMarco Murray has been in contact with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know he is eager to sign, but he's also said in recent reports, if all things are equal in deals, DeMarco Murray will look to go back to the Dallas Cowboys. And so let's get into our mock draft. I kind of want to break it down some because I don't want to overlook anybody. And you can definitely call in and chime in here on our guest call-in line. Our phone number here is 713-955-0710. Once again, that's 713-955-0710. I am the one-man show, Marcus Douglas, and I would love to hear from you guys as I go through this mock draft, but I'm also going to go through and give my opinion on who the team needs to draft and what help, if any, they need on a particular side of the ball. So let's dive in. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this week's mock draft are staying put at number one, and they are slated to take right now Jameis Winston. We told you guys on a couple weeks ago that Jameis Winston was already in the Tampa area, spending time with the coaching staff, with the front office staff, but also spending time with ownership. Because whenever you invest a number one pick overall in a quarterback or a player, you want to make sure that you don't find out later on down the line that you're going to have egg on your face. When this young man is out in the community representing your franchise, you want to make sure that he has gotten his act together. And I think that's an awesome pick at number one. The Tennessee Titans, a little changing up here with the Tennessee Titans. They are slated to take Leonard Williams, defensive tackle, defensive end out of USC. Another news today coming out of Tennessee, Jake Locker has decided to retire. And so this is a surprising move, knowing that they need a quarterback, but they are showing, in my opinion, with this mock draft, a little bit of faith in Zach Mettenberger, who came into the fold last year, who did some okay things as a quarterback. But let's face it, you have to win games in the NFL. Let's look at the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Philadelphia Eagles, everybody is talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars giving their pick or trading backwards in order to give their pick to the Philadelphia Eagles. And if so, Philadelphia would draft Marcus Mariota, former quarterback of the Oregon Ducks, former quarterback of Chip Kelly. And so they look to reunite in the NFL and see if they can still make the magic happen. Let's look at the Oakland Raiders. Oakland Raiders go Randy Gregory, outside linebacker from Nebraska. Let's look at the Washington Redskins, Dante Fowler, as they try to prepare for life after Brian Arakpo, because right now he is a free agent, and I'm not so sure that he will be back in a Redskins uniform. Let's look at the New York Jets. Todd Bowles is in town. He is going to run a 3-4 defense, slated to go with the New York Jets, Vic Beasley, outside linebacker out of the University. Well, I was about to say University of Clemson, but Clemson University. And so when you look at the Chicago Bears, it's a mixed bag with the Bears. They need everything from defensive line help to outside linebacker help. And so they are talking about right now converting to a 3-4 defense. And if so, it looks like they're going with the young man out of Missouri, Shane Ray. Let's look at the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons need help on defense. Alvin Dupree is a defensive end out of Kentucky. Their front seven is lacking on big-time playmakers and pass rushers. If you want to win games, if you want to stop Cam Newton, if you want to get to Drew Brees, you're going to have pass rushers. And Atlanta Falcons are slated right now to go on the defensive side of the ball and Alvin Dupree. Let's look at the New York Jets. The New York Jets are looking to shore up that offensive line. Eli Manning did come on late last year in that new system that he is running. And so they look to take guard-tackle combination Brandon Scherff out of Iowa. And so those are the top nine picks. I will stop right there, take a break, get a drink of water. But our phone line is open here at Inside the Game. Once again, our phone number is 713-955-0717. Once again, our phone number is 713-955-0710. Please call in, and I want to hear your thoughts and opinions on the mock draft, free agency signing, and also the trades talk that we went over earlier on this show. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game. Welcome back to Inside the Game. Before we go back to our mock draft, we're going to get into some more free agency news as the Buccaneers are looking to host Cowboys inside linebacker Bruce Carter. Bruce Carter is 27 years old, notched 68 tackles with 5 passes intercepted. And so Lovie Smith and those guys down there in Tampa are still looking to add to that team. When you talk about trades, we went over trades in the beginning couple minutes of the show. Once again, Jimmy Graham is no longer a Saints player. He is now a Seahawk. The Haloti Ngata, young man I played with, very talented. He looks to go to the Detroit Lions in a trade the kind of lessen and blow a little bit of losing Sue, which we will talk about in a minute. Nick Foles is a Ram, and Sam Bradford is an Eagle. Sam Bradford has been long on potential, but short on results. Sam Bradford needs to win games. And already we went over our mock draft before. Philadelphia is slated to move up into that number three spot to try to draft Marcus Mariota. And so right now you look at Sam Bradford. We don't know what his future holds in Philadelphia, but right now he is an Eagle and Nick Foles is a Ram. And on last week we went over a trade. LeSean McCoy is now a Bill, and Kiko Alonso, talented third-year linebacker out of Buffalo, is an Eagle. So that trade happened on last week. As we stated here on Inside the Game, we always bring you guys the late breaking news and some news that's coming out of the Dolphins. As they await the signing of Ndamukong Suh, and he is not signed yet, the Dolphins are trying to clear cap space. They have released Philip Wheeler and Shelly Smith. When you talk about What does it mean for a player to make $19 million? Well, you best believe you cannot pay everyone on that team. And so when you think about Ndamukong Suh, he is an imposing force. He is a player that will make other players around him better. A lot of people are saying that the money could have been well spent in other areas, shoring up that offensive line, getting some more weapons around the quarterback. Charles Clay was signed to a transition tag, but right now he is in Buffalo taking a physical and meeting with the coaches because they look to put together a deal that will supplant him out of Miami and into Buffalo. And so right now the Dolphins are doing their best to try to clear cap space. And as we also stated at the top of the show, the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots, the New York Jets, all of these teams are interested in Darrelle Revis. And everyone, including myself, we're on a Darrelle Revis watch. We all know early in the week that New England declined to pick up his $20 million option, making him a free agent. And so you guys have to understand that, you know, whenever a free agent of his caliber is on the move, teams are going to be lining up and vying for his services. So understand that Darrelle Revis will pick the best situation for himself and his family, and we wish him well here on Inside the Game. Let's look at some other news. As we stated before, A.J. Hawk was let go in a cost-cutting move from the Green Bay Packers. He is no longer a Packers because on today, at the sign of free agency, he is now a Cincinnati Bengals player. And so when you talk about players doing what's best for them, perhaps A.J. Hawk didn't feel like being unemployed was a cool thing, and so he chose to team up with Marvin Lewis and those Cincinnati Bengals. And so he would now man that defensive side of the ball with Ray Malaluga and, you know, some of those other talented guys that they have up front when you talk about them trying to get over the hump and consistently be a threat in the AFC North Division. And so that is a little bit more NFL news. Stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game as we take a quick commercial break.
Take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and half of our show is almost over. Our call-in line is 713-955-0710. Once again, that's 713-955-0710. And this is going to be a NFL news-packed segment. when you talk about who's signing, when you talk about what kind of deals our teams are making, look no further than Inside the Game. And so I would just encourage you guys to tune in to every show that we have every Tuesday at 8 p.m. I'm your host. Sometimes I'm joined by guests and friends of the show. And sometimes I also go out to the call line. I know I can talk a lot, but at the same time, as you guys have witnessed, I give a lot of information. And so right now, let's dive back into the information. The 49ers have re-signed Blaine Gabbert. He has joined Colin Kaepernick as the only quarterbacks currently on the 49ers roster. But look for the 49ers to bring in competition because they want to make sure that their offense is clicking on all cylinders. And like we said a couple minutes ago, you have to get the ball to your playmakers. Bolden and Torrey Smith, new 49er, will move the chains, as we like to say. And so you have to get the ball to the playmakers. Blaine Gabbert is back in the fold in San Francisco. And so he will look to cement his spot as the number two quarterback. Byron Maxwell is set to join the Philadelphia Eagles as he signed a day. 6-year deal worth $10 million. And a lot of people said that this was a stretch for a young man who had only started 19 games. This deal comes with $25 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. He was a top quarterback. He was a top cornerback on the market other than Darrell Revis. Let's not forget that. And so if Byron Maxwell, who only started 19 games, is a new recipient of a 6-year, $60 million deal, I cannot wait to see what Darrell Revis will sign for. When you talk about players wanting to put themselves in the best position that they can, it is definitely possible to do it in the NFL. Other news coming out of Philadelphia, on a serious note, former players have accused, and I will say accused because it's not been substantiated, the Philadelphia Eagles by saying that there is a kind of a hint of racism inside the organization. This comes from former player Trey Thomas and also some current players. We won't say their names because we know that they're still playing. But whenever you talk about racism, whenever you talk about players working together in a productive environment, there is no place for racism in the NFL. The former Thomas, the former first rounder of the Philadelphia Eagles, who joined the coaching staff in 2013 as an intern, in 2014 he worked as a linebackers and pass rushers coach. He was informed after the season that his position would no longer be funded by the Philadelphia Eagles. And so it looks like it's definitely a new sheriff in town and Chip Kelly. I won't go as far as to say that he is a racist, but where there's smoke, there's fire. And so there has to be somewhat of a truth to this. I know there are several reasons why Frank Gore left the Philadelphia Eagles at the altar, so to speak. And so who knows? We can only hope that, and I wish every NFL team well, that the NFL will investigate this because it is no place for this kind of behavior in the NFL because we're all players, we're all coaches trying to work towards one common goal. And you cannot do that with division in the locker room. And you cannot do that with an era of racism coming from players. And so when you talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, there are a lot of questions there. I know that they have just signed Sam Bradford, but we all know Chip Kelly. He is never satisfied. I wish I had that song to play for you guys because Chip Kelly wants the best offense. He wants an efficient defense. And he wants to be able to hold the ball and maintain time of possession. And so when you talk about things that are happening in Philly, some of the things are positive and some of the things are not so negative. And so we will look to break those stories as they come down the line. And so we're going to take a quick commercial break. Like I told you guys before I started, this show is almost over, that will give me time to check the net, check my sources, and make sure I have kept all of my Inside the Game listeners up to date on what's happening in the NFL. So stay tuned with us here on Inside the Game. Welcome back to Inside the Game. Before we get back to our mock draft, we're going to talk about an interesting topic as we start the free agency period. We've already talked about Patrick Willis hanging up his cleats. There have been reports of Justin Smith doing the same thing. Let's talk about for a minute. I read an interesting article today, and it names eight players who should retire. Eight players who should retire. Maybe you guys could get on my Facebook page and Inside the Game and post your comments as I read off these eight players' names. Retirement is not a bad thing. In my eyes, I wanted to walk away from the game instead of being carried out of the game. And so I wanted to leave on good terms. I still have some amazing relationships throughout the NFL with all of my coaches, a lot of players who still play. And so when you talk about eight players, when I read this article today, I found it amazing that these eight players were on the list, but also found it very revealing that, their peers thought that they should have been in this article. And so let's look at it. Number one, let's start with Peyton Manning. Everyone knows about Peyton Manning's neck surgeries. Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the game. We know he has a tremendous work ethic. We know he has changed the position, him and Tom Brady, for a lot of quarterbacks. They are the measuring stick, but at some point in time, you have to take a step back and say, you know what, life is more than just football. It's about family. It's about spending time with your loved ones. And so a lot of people thought that Peyton Manning looked very old, very pedestrian on last year when it came time for him to win the major games. They were ousted out of the playoffs. And so when you talk about people who should retire in the NFL, Peyton Manning was number one on the list. Let's also look at Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson is a powerful, bruising running back who was versatile. He had soft hands in his prime, but his prime has been long gone, if you ask me. In 2006, he rushed for over 1,500 yards with a total of 16 touchdowns, caught 90 receptions that added more than 800 yards receiving. Steven Jackson was a bruising running back, but Steven Jackson was a shell of himself in an Atlanta Falcons uniform. He had a lot of soft tissue injuries that he just could never give that Falcons offensive side of the ball what they needed. And so when you talk about Steven Jackson, he is a bruising running back who has had a lot of carries and who should be in a conversation when you talk about potential Hall of Famers. He has been in the NFL 11 years, which is a tremendous time for a running back. But at the same time, he still has that itch to play. And so when you talk about Steven Jackson, I can definitely agree with the writer on he is one that should definitely think about retiring. Let's also look at Ronnie Brown. Ronnie Brown is a young man who and I know I say this a lot on the air that I played with and I had a brief cup of coffee, as we like to say when you get cut in the NFL, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he is a young man who has been in the NFL, came in the NFL, very highly touted out of the University of Auburn. You know, he has done a lot of things, a lot of great things in the NFL, and has lasted a long time. When you talk about some of the things that Ronnie Brown has done, both for the San Diego Chargers, his last team, and the Miami Dolphins, he proved in you know, he could play this, you know, this game. Coming out of Auburn, it was between him and Cadillac Williams, if you don't, if you forgot about his name. But Ronnie Brown has managed to stick for a long time in the NFL and continues to be called on as providing that veteran presence in the locker room and also on the field. And so when you talk about free agents who might think about hanging it up, I'm not agreeing with Ronnie Brown, because I still think he has a lot left in the tank. But the next person I do agree with, who really needs to take a long, hard look this offseason, is not about the money anymore. It's not about the Super Bowls anymore. But Wes Welker, free agent from Denver, longtime New England Patriots player, should really think about hanging up his cleats. I mean, let's face it, Wes Welker was not the same this year as we've seen him in previous years. When you talk about him working the middle of the field, him being an underneath receiver, Peyton Manning could not trust him. Peyton Manning didn't have him for a lot of games. Number one was because of concussions. And so I really think that Wes Welker has a bright career off the field. And so I could only hope and pray. And a recent report said that his friends and family really wanted him to think about his health a little bit more. And so when you talk about Wes Welker really suffering from concussions, he's had three concussions over this past year. And so, you know, when you talk about him moving on, him retiring, I agree 1,000%. Let's look at the longtime veteran Reggie Wayne out of Indianapolis. Reggie Wayne came back last year off of ACL injury that he suffered in a game. And so when you talk about Reggie Wayne, when you talk about what he's meant to that organization, his name and jersey will be hanging in the rafters there in Indianapolis. Him and Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning were all integral parts of turning that franchise around. And Edgerrin James, I played against these guys. These guys earn everything that's given to them. He has nothing to prove. When you talk about a 14-year veteran, and maybe it's time for him to hang it up. I can never take a guy off the field, but I can only suggest and let everyone know that retirement life is not that bad. Nobody's hitting you in retirement. Nobody's waking you up in the morning. Nobody's making you squat. Nobody's making you power clean. And so retirement life is fun. You can still be active in the game. You can still do a lot of things to show that you're still a part of your organization, and you would only hope and believe that the owners and Jim Irsay and Chuck Pagano would have a role for Reggie Wayne as he contemplates retirement. And so I want to take a break from that list and also take a quick commercial break, as you guys can tell, to get myself some water. You guys go get some water. You guys go get a snack as we come back here on Inside the Game.
take your football game to the next level with the National Youth Football League. The National Youth Football League is powered by former NFL players and great coaches across the United States. They provide student-athletes with opportunities to play football year-round. Spring leagues in the Greater Triangle area are now forming for ages 5 to 18. To pre-register, log on to NationalYouthFootballLeague.com. That's NationalYouthFootballLeague.com.
Welcome back to Inside the Game, and I'm your host, Marcus Douglas. We only have minutes left in our show. I've given you guys awesome news, but we're also going over eight potential free agents, eight potential players in the NFL who should definitely think about retiring. I read this interesting article today, and you know, I want to get you guys' opinions. I want to get you guys' feedback on it. Our call-in number here at the studio is 713-955-0710. Or you can send me your comments and suggestions, and I will read them on the next show at Inside the Game on Facebook.com. And you can also reach me at on my Twitter account at MARQ94. Once again, that's at MARQ94. Let's finish up this list right now. Santana Moss is another name that people are saying should really retire. He was a first-round draft pick, long-time Washington Redskins player. Moss is a valuable he's been a valuable player for the better part of 10 years in the NFL. He has more than 10,000 career receiving yards, two-time All-Pro. But he is 37. He will be 37 years old next season. And so when you talk about someone who has definitely made his mark in the NFL, he has been there a long time. You can only hope and pray. Once again, I won't get on my soapbox and say what he should do. But once again, I think some for some reason or another, guys are scared to retire. And so when you look at guys like Patrick Willis, who said, I played 8 years. I've given you guys everything that I've had. I played with a broken hand, pinched nerves in my neck. But these last couple of injuries have really taken their toll. They really have had me to look at things off the field that I might want to do a little bit more right now than football. And you know, some of these guys need to take a page out of Patrick Willis's book and, you know, go ahead and hang up those cleats, because right now, and I used to always say this my first year, you get on those teams with those older guys who have played the 12 and 13 years, all I wanted to do as a young man was play football. And if you're holding up a roster spot, that could be a possibly a spot that a team was going to use for me. Also, let's look at a young Ravens player. Right now, Dennis Pitta is coming off of his second major hip surgery. He was a major part of the Baltimore Ravens' offensive game plan before he got hurt on last season, which was his second hip surgery. And so when you talk about life after football, life does exist after football. I know that you lost Torrey Smith. I know that you're trying to prove to your teammates that you can get out there and play, but the most important people that you have to impress are your family members. Or, you know, is being around for your daughters, your son, is being around for them and not necessarily, you know, limping when you're spending time with those guys. And so when you talk about players who you need to watch, who should hang it up, there are some interesting names on that list, but as we get back to our mock draft, I want to do so in a hurry because, like I said before, our time is drawing near. Let's look at the St. Louis Rams at number 10 on our mock draft. Cooper from Alabama, number 11, Minnesota Vikings. They look to shore up the back end with Landon Collins. Cleveland Browns, Kevin White. I don't think Kevin White lasted the 12th pick. But if he is there, Cleveland Browns are slated, who really need help as a deep threat. And Kevin White, we all saw a couple weeks ago in NFL Combine, he blazed the trails with a 4-3. time in a 40-yard dash, he definitely can do it. New Orleans Saints, they look to go cornerback Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. Number 14, Miami Dolphins, Marcus Peters, cornerback out of Washington. San Francisco, Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Louisville. Houston Texans, Jalen Strong, wide receiver, Arizona State, trying to make up for saying goodbye to Andre Johnson, who is rumored to be in Indianapolis right now, looking to reunite with Frank Gore, former college teammate, and also Chip Pagano, who is a former Miami Hurricanes coach. Houston Texans, we just went over them, Jalen Strong, San Diego Chargers, Eric Flowers, guard tackle out of Miami. Kansas City, no surprise, they look to go DGB out of Missouri. Big man has had a lot of off-the-field problems, has had issues, but Andy Reid has a way about him where he can make players toe the line, and we can only hope that DGB does just that. Cleveland Browns, they have two first-round picks. They look to shore up the defensive line with adding Danny Shelton, the big man out of Washington, who has been rumored to be, a big-time fan of Elodie Nada. And so when you look at the Cleveland Browns trying to shore up the middle of that defense, they look to do so. Jacksonville Jaguars, which was originally the Philadelphia Eagles pick, look to go on the defensive side of the ball to try to help that defense out. And Elon Harrell, young man out of Virginia. Cincinnati Bengals, Lyle Collins out of LSU, tackle. The Steelers, Daylon Collins, cornerback. Detroit Lions, Eddie Goldman, Florida State. Arizona Cardinals, Eric Armstead, Oregon. Carolina Panthers, DJ Humphreys, tackle. This is a major pick because Byron Bell is not back with the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers definitely need help on the inside of that offensive line, also at left tackle position. When you talk about what else does Cam Newton need? Cam Newton needs help in the receiving core. Updating the report on NFL News, Ted Ginn Jr. has signed with the Carolina Panthers, but he is not going to give you a legitimate two to play behind the number one receiver there, Kelvin Benjamin. And so when you look at the Carolina Panthers, they look to shore up that offensive line. Baltimore Ravens, I have a feeling that this will pick. They look to go cornerback Kevin Johnson in the first round. Dallas Cowboys, Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle of Texas. Denver Broncos, Jordan Phillips, defensive tackle from Oakland. Indianapolis Colts, McKinney, inside linebacker out of Mississippi State. The Green Bay Packers, Eric Kendricks out of UCLA. Number 31, Seattle Seahawks, no longer have Roberto Lockett. No longer have, they do have Jimmy Graham. I won't talk about what they don't have. They do have Jimmy Graham, but they look to go to boost that wide receiver spot. And Philip Dorsett out of Miami. New England Patriots, Carl Davis, defensive tackle out of Iowa, looking to fill a void left by Vincent Wilfork. So stay tuned with us. We only have minutes to go here on Inside the Game. We will be back shortly, but like I always say, when I take a break, you guys hurry back up, get a quick drink of water, because we will be back in a second to wrap up our show. Turn down for what? Breaking news out of Florham Park, New Jersey. Darrell Revis has decided to go back and join his former team. The Jets have agreed to a contract. The numbers are not out with cornerback Darrell Revis. Many people think he is the top prize in free agency. And so, once again, you guys have heard it here first on Inside the Game. There is no other show on this network, on Blog Talk, on the radio that you can listen to that breaks more important news than Inside the Game. And so, once again, Darrell Revis, cornerback, formerly of the New England Patriots, has gone back home to Florham Park, New Jersey, and signed with the New York Jets. Let's look at some other news. Brooks Reed, outside linebacker of the Texans, has agreed to a contract with the Atlanta Falcons that will pay him $22 million over 5 years. That coach down there and GM, they are trying to get things started. Dan has already made a major splash in free agency. We're trying to shore up that defensive side of the ball. As I read here in my news, Derek Morgan, defensive end, outside linebacker from the Tennessee Titans, is also in Atlanta right now. They're looking to get him locked up. And so when you talk about the Falcons trying to make some moves, trying to shore up that defensive side of the ball, they are moving in a positive direction. But let's get back to Darrell Revis and what does this mean for the New York Jets. I know Darrell Revis personally. We share the same agent. We played together for a year. He loves the New York area. And I know Boston is a great place, but let's face it, Boston is not New York. So Darrell Revis comes back home to end his career on a, let me get my news straight, on a multi-year deal, let's just call it that. Woody Johnson said before free agency started that he would write the check in order to get Darrell Revis back. Now I hope that Todd Bowles shifts his attention to the other side of the ball and shoring up that quarterback position because, you know, you have what you need on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, you get your linebacker back and Harris, you get your cornerback back. Let's get a quarterback for the New York Jets. And stay tuned here with us every Tuesday night on Inside the Game.